Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. This is Gilles Grapinet speaking. Thank you for attending the Worldline conference call today on our first quarter 2015 revenue. I am going to share this presentation with Marc-Henri Desportes, General Manager, and Bruno Vaffier, our Group CFO. I will start with the key figures for the Q1 2015, then Bruno will develop the revenue and free cash flow performance for Q1. After Bruno, Marc-Henri will present the first quarter commercial and operational performance per global business line. Finally, I will come back to conclude before starting our Q&A session. As you can see on the next slide, with the team, we are really pleased to report a Q1 perfectly in line with our 2015 ambition, and notably, a solid free cash flow. First, revenue was 286.6 million euros, representing an organic evolution of +4% compared to the first quarter of 2014, in line with our plan for the full year, with a positive contribution from each of the three global business lines. Our backlog remains strong at 1.4 years of revenue, and free cash flow during the first quarter reached 31.9 million euros, up +10.4% compared with Q1 2014, completely in line with the objectives for the year of between 120 million and 125 million euros. We, of course, confirm today our guidance for the full year, as disclosed during the 2014 group result presentation held on February 18th, 2015. 4%-5% organic revenue growth, with H2 accelerating versus H1, an increase of circa 50 basis points in OMDA margin versus 2014, and a free cash flow between 120 million and 125 million euros. Thank you for your attention at this stage, and I leave the floor to Bruno, who will comment the Q1 revenue and free cash flow generation.
Thank you, Gilles, and good evening to all of you. So, on the first slide, before I start commenting on the performance of the quarter, let me just clarify the numbers that I will use for my presentation. So as we know, we measure our performance on the top line at constant scope and exchange rate, and this is also the basis of our guidance. So this quarter, we have no modification of scope between Q1 2014 and Q1 2015. So the reconciliation table on the slide only shows the Q1 2014 revenue adjustment for the exchange rate evolution. So on this comparable basis, the revenue in the first quarter of 2014 was 275.5, as you see, and the year-on-year growth in Q1 2015 reaches 4.0%, as Gilles just mentioned. So as you see, the exchange rate adjustment this quarter reflect the depreciation of the euro versus the British pound and other currency. And so, it's a positive, and that means that in statutory terms, the revenue growth is actually higher than 4%. Just a note on the figures that Atos will present tomorrow, Worldline's contribution to Atos revenues will appear there for an amount of 275.1 million euros, and the difference of 11.4 million euros is linked to the consolidation eliminations, as we have, as you know, a part of our revenues that are invoiced to our end customers through Atos. Let's now move to the review of the operational performance. So the table on the slide shows the performance for the group with the 4% I just mentioned, and the 4% growth I just mentioned, and also for each global business line. And so let's now go through the global business line one by one. So during the first quarter, Merchant Services and Terminals revenue was 93.5 million euros, up 2.9%. This growth was primarily driven by the confirmed recovery of the payment terminal business, as well as the continued internationalization of the commercial acquiring. These favorable trends more than compensated for less project activity in other divisions that are private label cards and loyalty services, and also online services. The revenue for financial processing and software licensing reached 98.3 million, up 2.2% compared to Q1 2014. And here, the main growth driver was clearly online banking services, due to higher volumes of transactions and also to new contracts signed in France. Growth in payment software licensing activities accelerated, driven by revenue from new product implementations in Germany. As anticipated, the growth in issuing processing was quasi-stable, given we are comparing to a Q1 2014 that was strong in project activity. In acquiring processing, the growth improved compared to the last quarter of 2014, but revenue remained negatively impacted by the effect of the reinsourcing of one significant contract in France. The revenue in mobility and e-transactional services reached 94.8 million, up 7.1% compared to the first quarter of last year. All three divisions there contributed to the overall growth. E-consumer and mobility in particular reported double-digit growth thanks to positive trends in connected living activities driven by the increase of activity in our most innovative offerings in particular. E-ticketing activities grew thanks to an increase in business volumes and to project works in America, in Latin America, sorry, and the services to the UK transport industry continued to grow as well. The revenue for e-government collection was up thanks to new contracts signed out of the Benelux as well as to volume increase in Latin America. Moving to the free cash flow, a word on the free cash flow on the next slide. The Worldline free cash flow in Q1 totaled 31.9 million euros. This is fully in line with our anticipation and with the objectives we have for the full year, objective of between 120 and 125 million, as Gilles mentioned. And if we compare to the Q1 2014, the free cash flow is up 10.4%. The net cash position reaches 234.3 million euros at the end of the quarter. I now hand over to Marc-Henri, who will present the commercial and operational performance of the quarter.
Thank you, Bruno, and good evening to you all. I will now briefly comment the commercial and operational performance of our first quarter 2015 for our three business lines. Starting with merchant services and terminal, we continued at the beginning of this year to push on new solutions, like the one I already mentioned during our 2014 full year results presentation. And in particular, I would like to insist here on the active rollout of our digital component version of Visa MasterCard loyalty program in Belgium. We call it Spar and Pluck over there, or Épargner et Cueillir in French, as the two languages are used over there. Which is a strong driver of stickiness for our merchant acquiring contracts, and we see a strong appetite on these offer and solutions. In terms of innovation, Worldline won the PayForum Award 2015 at the PayForum event in Paris for its new retail host point of sale services, innovative solution allowing users to pay with their mobile phones and retailers to accept payment via a simple mobile application. We see it as an interesting innovation driver for smaller merchants or mobile sellers inside bigger shops. Besides, we have an increasing number of pilots for digital retail solution, with typically the hospitality example showcased in the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. On top of our existing business, we believe these new products are important to secure current revenues and develop the next generation of business. That's why we are highlighting them in particular today. In terms of big wins in merchant services and terminals, on top of the double-digit growth of commercial acquiring outside Belgium, we expanded our offer in India with a new client, Sodexo, for whom we acquire meal vouchers and gift cards. And we did renew an important internet acceptance partnership with Société Générale, extending the scope of services we offer. And we did also renew a very large e-commerce service with a French retailer. Now moving to financial processing and licensing. Here we had an interesting extension of our offering with global fraud management solution that we sold in India. and we are gaining traction there in this area. Fraud in general is an important business driver all over the world, and we continue investing in new solutions and pushing them globally. We continued developing our non-card payment business, signing with major Dutch banks to manage e-mandate services for SEPA direct debit and SEPA credit transfer around iDEAL. Non-card payments and online banking continues to be a strong growth driver of our business, as Bruno mentioned, also commenting on our figures. We started the run mode of our HCE pilot in France as per the plan, achieving an overshot delivery challenge for our clients. We also launched a new global ATM management offer, including drive-through services. Regarding the big wins for the financial processing licensing business line, we had many of various sites, a few that I can highlight in particular on top of the Bank of India one I already just mentioned. The trusted authentication deal with a large French bank, which is another interesting sign of the rush to safety, and we see that our trusted authentication solutions have a very strong market appetite in face of rising fraud numbers for the card non-payment market. We won a new contract for loan management solution for a French government agency, and we think it's an interesting example of convergence between finance and public sector trends. And we also won the design of a new generation of card payment platform for China Construction Bank, showing the dynamism of our licensing activity in Asia Pacific. Now moving to mobility and e-transactional services business line, here we saw good momentum in the railway industry and in the health sector with new wins and leads. It is also the case in machine-to-machine projects for which we have, as you know, the ambitions to continue to drive the change from connected devices to transacting devices, which is the ultimate goal of our investment in this area. In terms of relevant wins, we signed an important deal in secured product tracking solutions, leveraging our M2M assets. We also won a medical imaging deal, and we renewed a railway operating contract for which the needs of mobile and connected solution is clearly rising. It's an area, the railway, which is clearly rising. So beyond these commercial results for three business lines, I would also like to confirm that we are progressing and on track on the implementation of our team program to improve our cost base and transform our operations. I will now give the floor back to Gilles Grapinet for the conclusion.
Thank you, Marc-Henri. It is indeed now time to conclude, and I would like here to sum up the key takeaways of this Q1 presentation. First, Worldline showed during the Q1 2015 a satisfying level of activity and a solid free cash flow generation, both fully in line with our full-year plan. I was especially pleased to see the further deployment of our global offers across our various geographies, as Marc-Henri just illustrated. Our internal transformation plan team is progressing well, as well as our R&D investment for new products, with clear first paybacks from a commercial standpoint. And lastly, I can confirm that we are extremely focused to take full advantage of the payment industry regulatory and consolidation trends in Europe. I am now ready with the team to take your questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or access key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask the question. We will pause just for a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Mohamed Mawala from Goldman Sachs.
Yes, good afternoon. Well done on the quarter. Nice to see the acceleration. My question related to the merchant services business. and specifically around the kind of e-commerce and gateway business. Can you perhaps quantify what the growth was? I know you outlined it as being a kind of challenging area, and can you perhaps tell us what kind of the issues are and what's going to be needed to kind of rectify or improve the growth to levels that are acceptable in your view, and to what extent are acquisitions necessary in driving that that turnaround?
Thank you, Mo. Good evening. Marc-Henri will take your question.
Yeah, I will not quantify further in line with our level of communication, but I can explicit a bit on the situation. It was a smoother quarter, clearly, in terms of momentum in this area, mainly driven by the project, you know, cycles. In this area, we have the run mode, and here the volumes remain strong, and the momentum is satisfactory. But we also have projects and one-off when we build a new component for a specific client, and you have quarters with ups and quarters with a lower activity. And from that point of view, we were a bit lower in Q1. But once again, coming back to volumes momentum, we still experience a double-digit growth in this area, and so the activity is not worrying from that point of view. But it's also more all the contrary, it is for us a long-term growth driver. Another point I would like to mention here is that these assets are in fact sold either directly to merchants or through partnership with banks. And some areas are typically driven by the online banking activities, on which we had a very solid Q1. And so it's in terms of business distribution, Q1 was more driven by focus on some specific bank requests and less on merchant dedicated activity. So all in all, we are not worried at all. We are experiencing on the whole combined FPL, merchant services, online activity, solid growth. It was more distributed in the banking side this time.
So okay. The second aspect of your question, Mo, was to know if we were needing actually to make a particular acquisition in that space to change the growth profile. I would say that from a pure technical standpoint, what we have is really absolutely in line with market expectation. Acquisition could only make sense if it would open up a different geography and actually expose us to different categories of merchants. Of course, it is something that we put somewhat in the radar screen, but it is not the maximum priority of the company. It can be opportunistic. I cannot tell you more at this stage.
Sure. I just had one more follow-up. I mean, given where you are in kind of Q1, and you know, you've talked about potentially some headwinds, particularly in FPL, subsiding as you go into the second half of the year. Terminal seems to be on a nice turnaround. Is it a bit early to kind of speculate where you come in on your kind of full year range? Is kind of the upper end of the range attainable in your view now than perhaps a few months ago?
More. I will take that one. The as Gilles said, I mean, we confirm the objective for the full year. And we confirm within the year. I would say the trend that we explained at the time of the annual results, which are an FPL, which indeed had a good quarter, but FPL, let's say, accelerating during the year. MTS being in line with the average, and overall 4-5% growth with an acceleration during the year. So we confirm this objective.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from James Goodman from Barclays.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you. Yes, just could you let us know the exact terminals growth rate in the quarter, please? And then secondly, on M&A more generally, have you seen any changes at all worth talking about in the sort of competitive environment over the past few months? You know, are you any closer to any deals? Has your thinking sort of moved on there at all? Anything worth mentioning there? And then finally, just a clarification on the intercompany element. I think you said 275.1 million in the current year, but could you give us the constant FX sort of comparative after the intercompany elimination from the prior year? Thanks.
Thanks. Bruno will take the first one and the third one, and I will conclude with your question related to M&A.
So on your first one, it was on the terminals, if I understood well. On the terminals, I think what's important, you know, terminals, it's a hardware sale, so there is some volatility from one quarter to the other. What I think is important, and we've said repeatedly, we want terminals to be where they have been historically before the product transition, which is a high single digit, and that's where our terminals have been in Q4 last year, and where they are in Q1 this year as well. So and one quarter it can be a bit more, a little bit less, but it's a strong quarter for terminals, and we want them to be in this high single digit area. On your, you had another point. Yeah, indeed, your other point was on the revenue to Atos, so 11.4 million, which makes 275.1 million euro contributive revenue, let's say, in the consolidation of Atos.
And sorry, so the question was, what's the comparative from the prior year, constant FX, excluding the intercompany? I.e., what's the organic growth rate within the Atos component?
Yeah, one point. If you do the math, you will find it's 1.6%. The growth of our contribution in revenue to Atos is 1.6% year on year.
Okay, thanks.
And second question. I can just confirm that we devote a very significant amount of time to M&A since the company has been listed, and that we also fully confirm that definitely there is in the European landscape a very significant trend that is pursued, both on merchant-related activities, where fundamentally many banks in certain geographies are contemplating actually to shape alliances or partially or totally divest the portfolio in commercial acquiring. So it is a significant focus of attention for us, beyond, of course, potential pure players that may operate in certain geographies already on a standalone basis. And the second focus is, of course, on processing activities, there also belonging to banks or group of banks, on which there is a definite appetite to engage into different type of discussion than in the past years. So things are definitely moving. The regulation is playing definitely a key role in the changing landscape, as is also the need of some banks to actually be recapitalized or to actually streamline their portfolio of activities after strategic review. So there are definitely these trends, and I fully confirm Worldline is definitely part of what is happening and what is discussed.
Very, very clear, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Johanna Skalzer from Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for taking my question. So maybe just following up quickly on the M&A question and what you've said here so far. So does that mean that we should rather think about maybe a deal that is on the multiple side less expensive than some of the kind of faster growth online assets out there, but much more synergetic on the cost base? Then is that basically what we should kind of be prepared for from your perspective? And then also, I mean, you elaborated on some of the NFC projects you have in the pipeline. If you could just give us a bit of color on how much that currently contributes to revenues and how that will grow, or if that is growing further over the course of the year, which I assume is the case. And then lastly, also on the interchange fee cut in Europe, I mean, some of your peers are kind of talking about positive impacts on the business from that. I was just wondering if that already had a positive impact on your business as well in the first quarter by any chance, or how we should think about that. Thanks.
On the M&A, just as you know, we are pursuing, and I think the first question of Mo was also driving into different direction. Clearly, the M&A is very high on the agenda of the company, and by, as I was clearly saying, we are covering various type of targets. Indeed, some of potential targets may have, I would say, multiples that are more at the low end of typical transaction in the payment space. Some other may be rather at the high end, depending on the profile of these targets, particularly between the ones that are more on the processing side that tend to lean towards the low end, and of course, things related to merchant activities, and particularly if there is an online component, as you know very well, can be rather high end. We navigate between these two extremities. I cannot be more explicit, sorry for that, but it will really depend on these type of targets. I can just only confirm that we are working on the full range of these potential targets. Story will tell and timing will tell when things will happen with what profile first.
On your question regarding NFC-driven revenues and interchange impact, NFC revenues are still small, obviously, in our overall revenue distribution, and mostly, for the moment, bit related as our partners are going through pilots, building new assets. The upside is in front of us in terms of run revenues, and definitely, we are counting on it. It's too soon to give any numbers or any kind of guidance on this at this stage. Indeed, we are more in the build phase, and we expect the run impact later on in the future as part of our work plan. On your last point, which is regarding the interchange impact, it is for the moment not impacting significantly our activities, mainly because if you take one of our main markets, which is Belgium, there has been no interchange decrease over Belgium. It's opening opportunities of cross-border deals, and we have won a few. The mechanical impact on our revenues is very limited as we are operating in geographies in which either the interchange was already very low or it has not been reduced so far.
May happen at a later stage.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Gianmarco Bonacina from Equita.
Yes, good afternoon. A couple of questions from me. The first one is about the cash flow, so the free cash flow, which was quite good, growing faster than sales. Can you confirm if you had a positive or negative working capital impact in the free cash flow? And if you expect any seasonality in the quarterly development of the working capital trend, or that is more or less similar to in the different quarters of the year? The other question is if you can remind us what has been the growth in financial processing division if you exclude this contract which has been insourced and which, if I understood correctly, will have a positive base effect from the Q2 because it was insourced in the Q2 of last year. Basically just to understand what has been the more recurring organic growth. The last one is just if you can confirm that your pipeline of outsourcing deal, again, financial processing, is stable or it has improved over the last few months. Thank you.
Yeah, I will take the first two and Marc-Henri will take the third one. On your first question on the free cash flow, two questions on the free cash flow. Working capital, I mean, we don't enter in the full disclosure of the free cash flow on a quarterly basis. But what I can say for the working capital is that indeed, for the year, and it's part of our plan and part of our part of our guidance. We expect some contribution of working capital. We still have some room for improvement of the working capital, especially on the client side. And we are working on it, and that's an expected contribution to the free cash flow for the year. On the seasonality, there is a limited seasonality. I mean, you just have to observe the quarterly free cash flow of last year. You will see that there is some seasonality, little bit in Q1. Q1 being slightly stronger than Q2, and also in Q3. Q3 being stronger than Q4, but it's a very limited seasonality. So it's not. There's nothing extremely meaningful there. On the growth in SPL, so indeed, the insourcing of this large contract, this large processing contract in France was actually in Q1 last year, at the end of February. And so it's costing us, let's say, this quarter for SPL, about 1 point of growth. So we would have been, restated for this insourcing, FPL would have been at 3.3%.
On your last question regarding the pipeline of financial processing deals, we see a good evolution. It's driven by a combination, not only a standard processing outsourcing deal, but also a lot of new features, additional value-added services on top of existing processing deals. So it's if you take the full combination of opportunities, yes, indeed, we see it developing.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alexander Furr from Exane.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. I've got two, actually. Firstly, on mobility and e-transactional services, very strong this quarter. Anything in particular you want to highlight? Any possible one-offs or close to one-offs, maybe setup fees or build phase that you want to call out? Or should we expect the same sort of very strong growth, mid to high single digit, going further out into the year? And second question would be more on your very positive comments regarding trusted authentication solutions. Shall we expect more of that over the next couple of years as regulation changes, the payment service directive to asking for a two-factor authentication, this sort of stuff? Are you getting quite excited about it? Thank you.
So I'll take the point on MTS. So on MTS, in terms of 7.1%, indeed, we're satisfied with this performance. The thing you have to take into account, let's say, when looking at this performance, is the performance we had last year. You've been following Atos and Worldline, so you probably remember that last year we had a decrease on top line in MTS for the Q1, and so Q1 last year was not a very good. It was a soft quarter, let's say, for MTS. And in MTS, there is volatility in growth. Because that's the GBL where we have more project activity, because it's more the share of new platforms that we are building is higher in this division, and so there is volatility. And indeed, Q1 2014 was a soft quarter overall for MTS. So it helps in the growth for Q1 this year because of the base effect, obviously. Now, in terms of expectations, I mean we remain in line with what we have said for at the time of the annual results. We expect MTS overall for the year to be, let's say, roughly in line with the average of the group. So for the organic growth.
Okay, thank you.
To come to your second question about trusted authentication, yes, indeed, we are excited about the potential of this because, as you say, with the PSD2, there is a strong push on two-factor authentication. So our clients feel the need to move into this direction. There is also the more basic push, as I said, of the increase in fraud for card non-payment transactions. There are regular communications that you may see from banks or regulators or the market in general that this is more and more a challenge. And so the use of new solutions is looked carefully at, and simple scoring solutions are not enough. We are providing that as well, but you need now to move more of the transaction with low score to stronger security modules. And this is our TA solution is well received as a very strong answer to that. So we are pretty excited about the potential, and we are starting to see more and more leads in Asia as well directly with this solution. So it's getting a global momentum.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star one. We will now take our next question from Laurent Daure from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, gentlemen. I have three questions on my side. The first one is I would like to come back on your comment on the loyalty cards and the weakness you had in the quarter. Was just wondering if it's a short-term trend or if we should extrapolate this in the coming years and your view of this market in more general terms. So that's the first question. The second question is, I'm sorry to come back on M&A, but you seem quite confident in closing a deal, but this has been the case for now a number of years. So what is different now compared to a few quarters ago? And what would you do with the cash in 2 or 3 years if you were not able to close any deal? You would end up with a net cash of roughly $500 million. So what would you do with that? Would you consider being a high yield, whatever? So it's an open question. And the final one is on the renewal of contract. If you could do an update on the main ones that could be for renewal, especially the one next year on the speed control in the highways, would be useful. Thank
Hello,
you.
Good evening, Laurent. Thanks for your question indeed. So I will come back on M&A at a later stage, and I give the floor maybe to first Bruno, and then or maybe Marc-Henri, maybe.
On your first question, which you mentioned loyalty card, but in fact I think you are more referring to potentially a softer momentum in the commercial acquiring underlying volume, so market macroeconomic condition on our geographies. We don't see it as a long-lasting trend. Indeed, we were a bit surprised that the Q1 was indeed showing a weaker economic momentum, especially in Belgium. We are not macroeconomic experts, but we are not seeing that as a long-lasting trend. So nothing structural, and in fact, indeed, loyalty card solutions are showing a very good momentum and are a very strong tool to keep loyalty of our client base, which is important in the long run in this business. You want to come back to the menu?
I don't know if I was giving an impression of being confident. It's true that it is the one of the main reasons, as you know very well, of the listing of the company. And this has given, definitely after 9 months of now actual experience from the team, and of course I'm talking there also on the name of the various and numerous colleagues that are involved, a totally different momentum to Worldline in the European payment industry, partially thanks to you guys, because you've been covering the company and you helped to make it, of course, more understandable by the external world. And because, of course, it is our official mandate given by our board to actually allow Worldline to be one of the consolidators of this landscape. So we know what we spend our time on too, and hopefully and hopefully this will materialize. Now it is M&A, you need to be two to make a transaction, and you need to find also something that is financially meaningful for our shareholders, and it will be a constant point of attention from this management team, at least as long as I am leading it. And it means that, of course, we don't want to pay things that would imply a payback in decades. But I am indeed devoting with the team a significant level of energy on things that are meaningful and worthwhile making the effort. Coming back to your potential very theoretical question, you can imagine easily that it is not at all the mainstream scenario. And should it happen, it will be another discussion in 2 years' time. I guess that it should be a virtual discussion from where we are today.
On your question about renewals, I think on the payment side, we have a few payment processing renewals, in particular in Germany, which we are working upon without any concern. I mean, in the recent history, if I'm looking backwards, like 24 months, we have always renewed all our financial processing contracts with good conditions. And we sometimes mention this insourcing, French insourcing, which the decision was taken 4 or 5 years ago. And so it's nothing to do with our recent history. So from the payment point of view, we are contemplating the few renewals without any kind of concern. Even we at least with one of them that I have in mind, it's a possibility to extend the scope of what we will do. So we are constantly working in this direction. So no specific point. On the big French contract you're talking about, there have been a bit of delay in the process to perform the renewal. So the process is indeed moving to a next phase, but give us visibility beyond 2015 in terms of business and even a significant chunk of 2016. Then, being a public tender, here the economic rationale can sometimes is not the only driver, so there is a bit more uncertainty about it, as it should. But as we have mentioned in previous calls, it has been renewed already a few times. Hein? So it's not ever a major point of worry on our side, but there may be some decision of the public authorities to organize things a bit differently. So we are following that closely.
It's still early stage of the tender process, as Marc-Henri said. So, I mean, we will know more in a few months' time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Derek Marcon from Societe Generale.
Yes, good evening, guy. Thank you for taking my question. I've got four, if I may. The first one is related to the contract you renewed with Societe Generale, and you will see that the Chinese role is working perfectly there. Can you comment the price pressure you get on this renewal? Because I suppose it's the online payment gateway. Is it common to see significant price pressure on such renewal, or it's there is nothing specific to mention there? The second and third question are more related to figures. Regarding the CapEx in Q1 and for the full year, should we expect a specific seasonality in terms of CapEx? And especially, was the phasing in Q1 below what we should expect for Q2 and H2? My third question regarding e-consumer business, was that performance or was the performance of this business line, specific business line, so excluding mobility, in line with what we have seen in 2014, or things are getting better there? And my last question is regarding your commercial acquiring business. Should we think or should we expect you to open new countries in 2015? I know that you said international commercial acquiring was growing fast in Q1, but it's mainly in 2 to 3 countries. Should we see other countries opened during the year, this year? Or, yeah, thank you.
Hello, Derek. Good evening. It's Gilles speaking. I will take your first question, and it will be short. We also have a perfect Chinese wall when it comes to a commercial agreement with our customers, and you cannot expect me to make any specific comment on a specific contract, okay?
On price.
But in general, for payment, let's say in general, for online payment gateway, is there any pricing pressure at the renewal term or...
It varies. It varies from one customer to another. It depends, of course, on the starting point, and more importantly, it depends also on the type of functionalities that you add or not. And in that case, there is a scope extension in terms of functionalities. So it is not only a discussion around price.
Yeah, it's an important momentum in this business, indeed, expand the scope of what you are doing for your clients. The market is moving fast. There is a lot of needs. Fraud is an area. Managing new regulation is another. Typically, marketplace regulation evolution. So there is indeed a lot of space to extend the scope of what you're doing. Second question was on CapEx.
On your second question, Derek, your second question on CapEx. So on CapEx, you know, there is no... let's say linked to the business, to the cycle of the business, there's no particular seasonality. It's more depending on the needs. As I mentioned earlier, we don't comment on the detail of the free cash flow on a quarterly basis. But what I can say is that what we expect for the year is a cash flow that is a capex that is roughly in line with 2014, with no a particular seasonality or very extreme seasonality. There can be, of course, variations from one semester to the other, for example, but more or less in line with 14, I guess is the message. And your third question, sorry, Derek, was on e-consumer and mobility?
The e-consumer part, because I know that the mobility is going fast, but I was here looking much more to just e-consumer activity. In Q1, did you experience a better trend than, let's say, in the one you had in 2014?
Well, e-consumer and mobility is, e-consumer within e-consumer and mobility is an activity where it's a mature activity, okay? And so there's a fixed part, you know, that gives stability to the business, and then on top of this, there can be projects that move the revenue up or down. So roughly, I think that what's important is to keep in mind that the trend is or our objective is roughly to have it around being stable, let's say. This quarter was a bit soft because of some projects, but you know, I think it's nothing because of less projects in France in particular. But I think it's not really a trend. The trend that we see there is the stability.
The last one was about countries extension. On this, yes, it is our intention to develop internationally. We have two lines that we are following. One we mentioned, I guess, on the last call, which is working more on e-commerce acquiring, which is by default international, and bundling it with our online acceptance. And we are progressing along this line with new leads and signatures. So it is an area that is now gaining speed. When it comes to physical acquiring and entering new countries, we are looking here more to leverage on alliances and to start with a significant position to have a critical mass and effect. And that is part of our sales activity in this moment, to push on a few opportunities here to develop in new countries.
Thank you very much, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask the question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As there's no further questions at this time, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn back the call to the speaker for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, guys, I would like to thank you for being with us this evening, and I look forward to meeting with you, hopefully, in the coming weeks, and in any case, at the end of H1. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.